Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
What's happening? Thanks for joining us. Sorry for my tardiness today. I have an excuse. I don't know if it's a good one, but there's what we're talking about today. A ton on the Giants, but I can't just talk about the depressing Giants all day, every day. So there's some rumors that Damian Lillard could be coming home to the Warriors. Now remember, he's got the dreaded Achilles, so I don't know when he's going to be ready, but there are some rumors going around. So we got some Warriors discussions, NBA discussions. Kind of interesting. We have a verdict in the Diddy trial. Do you care about that? You might. I guess we do have to talk some Giants. For some strange reason, Buster Posey thought it was a good idea in the midst of all of this losing to pick up the option on Bob Melvin's 26 contract. I understand why he did it, but I wouldn't have done it at this particular point. So we'll get into his reasoning behind it and all those different things. But good morning, good morning, good morning. I apologize. We have workers in the house. As you can see, my boring background still. It looked like I'm in a crazy house or asylum. We're getting a bunch of stuff fixed around the house, and I had to let some people in and then had to talk and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, by the time I got done, I thought I was going to be done early. So then we get a start that's about 30, 40 minutes late. So I apologize because you're like, what's going on, dude? Not cool. So I apologize for that. So we will do an extra special show today, including a caboose pistol that, I don't know, it's been in my mind for a while and I've never really had an opportunity. And I thought, well, today's a good day because we all need to laugh, because if you don't, you're going to cry watching what the Giants do as they get blown out last night in Arizona. So we got a ton of stuff to get to for episode 181. Thank you so much for joining us in episode 181. You know the drill around here, but let me just hit something real quick because I wasn't live on Instagram. I forgot to do it during the open. We are now live there. So however you're watching today, John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, which would be outstanding if you would come over. Maybe you're watching on one of the other platforms. It's X at John Lund Radio. Watching on Instagram now at John Lund Radio. You could be watching on LinkedIn today, Facebook, either my personal page or John Lund Unleashed, or watching where you see that big B, Bay Area Sports Collective, which is my show, Tom Tolbert, Rod Brooks, if you're getting a theme here, Polly Mack with Creative Tony, and so XKNBR guys. And then you've got the great Amy G, who does a tremendous podcast and YouTube show on women in sports media and the player perspective from one Jeremy Affeldt, the former Giant. So that is the lineup for Bay Area Sports Collective, which I'm included in. So if you'd go over there too, then you know when all those shows will pop. It is a Wednesday after all, so that means Polly Mack and Creative Tony will do Night Flight tonight. So it's about all I know. Nobody keeps me informed on anything because I tell you this all the time, that I would just blab it to everybody. So go over there, make sure that you are subscribed to that channel as well as John Lund Unleashed, where you hit us with the like. You make sure that you have those alerts on and so forth. The show is under protest today, by the way. I wish I could show you. My dog is laying on the couch here in the studio and just pissed at me, because there's workers in the house right now. My wife is gone and there's workers in the house and they're all over the place. And I can't trust the dog because he'll go running out or he'll forget that he already knows these people and start barking at them and all this kind of stuff. And so he's got to stay in here and he's not digging it. So he's staring at me right now. Like, what are we going to do? We're going to go on a walk. Like, why do you have me in here? He feels like he's imprisoned. And so we're doing the show under protest. I'm not. He is. He's giving me dirty looks right now. But anyway, good morning, good morning, good morning. It is episode 181. Before we go out to roll call, before we hit up on the chalkboard today, and that's the way that we keep things straight around here, do remember that the show is sponsored, title sponsored, by our good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Reappell, Reappell Sports Medicine, and you are going to look great. And I showed you this yesterday. I clicked on it with my own very own phone and said, hey, this is what you're going to see. I don't even know where my phone is. I had it a second ago. I don't know. Don't you hate that? I just had it. I was going to show you again, but what you see when you click on that QR code, here's the bottom line. My wife has never felt better. She is doing stem cell. I'm sure you've heard of it. And you're like, does that stuff work, man? I said before, I'm like, oh, I know firsthand. Well, my wife, just because I'm seeing it, her shoulder, her elbow, her foot, she's all had a couple of procedures with the stem cell. Very simple to do. And it does work miracles because, as I've told you, my wife, all the ice bags and all the different things she would use while we were watching TV, and she's just had it kind of throughout her life. and she's feeling amazing with Dr. Riopel, one of the first in California to do stem cell. He swears by it. In fact, I was in 2 days ago, and I was talking to Dr. Riopel about it, and his son, he's going to be a doctor as well, and he swears by it. Like, they're just like, man, stem cell is where it's at. And it's awesome. It just works so well. And for the majority of the people, large majority of the people, it's awesome. And your pain goes away. So wherever you have that pain, you got to talk to Dr. Jeffrey Riopel about it. Click on that QR code right there. Now, if you can't get to the QR code, it's really, really simple. Just use your favorite search engine. Google it. Riopel is spelled R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. He is awesome. Dr. Jeffrey Riopel right there in the East Bay in San Ramon. And worth it. Wherever your drive's coming from, I'm telling you, like I said, he's one of the first in California to do it. So he knows what he's doing. And then I do, and this is why I was in the other day getting the update or getting the checkup on my low T. And I used to have to go in and get shots every single week. Did not dig that. And now it's every 4 months and I feel great. So make sure you check out Dr. Riopel. And those aren't the only procedures he does. Men, women, you're going to look better, feel better. Check out all the things they can do for you over there with Dr. Riopel. Dr. Jeffrey Riopel. R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopel. Make sure that you tell him that I sent you over. That is one of the most important parts so that he can help you out and can treat you even better than he normally does, which is high-end stuff, people. So, Dr. Jeffrey Riopel. All right, let's get to things this morning. Episode 181, the Giants get blown out. That's no big surprise. I told you, you make your life a lot easier if you just say to yourself, they're just not very good. Didn't help me last night, but maybe it'll help you. I don't know what to say of Birdsong. I was wrong on him. Was great out of the bullpen. Always been a starter. Talked to him numerous times down at the ballpark. Very mature kid. I thought mentally, I mean, he's got stuff. 98 miles an hour. Stuff's breaking. It's nasty. And I had no issue with the mental makeup because I've talked to the guy numerous times. Very mature for his age. I thought, nothing's getting to this kid. He's going to be good. And he was great out of the bullpen. And as a starter, for the most part, he's just been... I mean, it's just, that's the perfect word for it. Mentally, he's just not there. I'm going to play a cut from you. He's probably got to be out of the rotation. That hurts me to say. And they don't have a lot of rotational depth. So maybe he just stays there, but maybe they kind of move the bodies around a little bit. But he just mentally, this has happened like what, 3 or 4 starts in a row? Cruising, looking good, loses it. Loses his release point, loses confidence in his pitches, can't spot anything. All of a sudden, that 98, which is nice, is right down the middle, up in the zone, and gets hit out of the ballpark. And that's what happens. I keep competent to my golf game. You know, I just, one goes into the trees, and I'm done. You know, I just mentally can't get it back, and that's Birdsong. One goes, and he is done. No matter how dominant he looked up into that point, he's done. And even admitted last night, and I don't know what's going on, and this is where I'm going to get into a discussion about the coaches, but the game is mental. It's mostly mental, and that's what your coaches are there for. And that's why, you know, I'm struggling with him keeping Pat Burrell. All of a sudden, a lot of these pitchers are struggling mentally. Walker is, Birdsong is. Like, who's talking to these guys? Who's trying to help him through this? Because that becomes a coaching issue. Players play, coaches coach. I get it. But Birdsong's struggling with the same thing every single start. Cruising along, looking good, and loses it. And that's where a coach comes in and says, I got you. Or a sports psychologist or somebody. Who's behind the scenes here? And this is where I'm struggling with this organization is that I get it. Players play, coaches coach. But this kid's got a shitload of talent. You got to help him out. It's the same thing every time. Why isn't anybody mentally helping this kid out? That, you know, the hitters are getting worse, not better. The pitchers are getting worse, not better. Like, what's going on? And I don't mean Logan Webb. I mean, he does what he does. Robbie Ray is a veteran. He's got a system for himself. But these other guys are like, they're struggling big time, man. Maybe Verlander's not. He's 42. He knows what he's doing. But some of these young guys, they're just not, you know, Jung-Hoo Lee's not coming around. Like, who's the sports psychologist? Who's the guy that's supposed to help them? They're not getting better. They're getting worse. And not just worse. Worse than worse. I mean, they're going into the tank, these guys. So anyway, we got to get into that conversation. We'll get into Bob Melvin and why they picked up his option. I understand why. I just don't agree with it. The fan that was booted again. We'll explain if you care about that, the guy out in left field for the Diamondbacks. Waiting on Giannis might not be a good thing. I got the latest there. Lillard and Horford. What would that do for the Warriors? Where would that put them in the Western Conference? That might be the way. Did he kind of got away with some of it, but not all of it. random thoughts, and I got a caboose to make you feel better today. It's just a video that I see all the time, and I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to bring it onto the show today because people need some laughs. All right, let's get to things. And again, I apologize. We had some stuff going on around in the house today, and I had to be present because my wife is not here, so I had to do a few things, and it took a little bit longer than we thought. By the way, the dog won't even look at me now. It was on the couch and was just giving me the evil eye, like, let me out of here. And I can't because he's going to mess with the workers. And now he's laying, looking out. We've got like a glass door that come in here. And now he's just like, don't even care. Not even going to look at you. He's trying that. It's like, dude, I can't let you out. That's just what's going on. All right. Good morning to everybody. JJ Rader was the first one in here today. Hi, John Joseph. It is great to see John Harder, Pine Needle, Joy, Enrique, Dom. Hello, Dom. Good to see you, my buddy. Tommy Huxley is here this morning. Tommy was on fire yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Jake, Naomi is here today. That is awesome. Piper J, please like and subscribe to both channels. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. Who else do we have in here? Joji is here. We should have some people that are usually late that are like right on time because I was such an idiot today. The 1420 is here. Daniel from the 916. I don't know what the Kings are doing. Dennis Schroeder. Who else do we have today? I'll get to everybody because we got to get going. Mark, it is great to see you this morning. And again, if you're wondering what I'm doing, you're like, where are these people coming from? They are in the John Lund Unleashed chat room. So come on over, say hello. We have a great bunch of people in here today. And by the way, as I always say, to 100% get your questions, comments, thoughts on the board, all you got to do is hit me with a super, donate to the show, which would be greatly appreciated. All right, let's get to things. Let's start at the top. The Giants blown out. Let's hit up on, I'm going to play this birdsong for you in just a second, but let me share my screen with you. I need to redo my screen today too. It was just ugly. I mean, here's the box from last night. It was just ugly. Up and down the board. I don't know what's going on with Rafael Devers. He's hitting 204 as a Giant. He'll come around. That's the least of my worries. When everybody tells me that Adames is hitting better and I still look and he's hitting 211, and I know batting average isn't everything. When Jung Hoo Lee is so bad that Daniel Johnson, who's hitting 172, has to replace him. Patrick Bailey gets a hit. He's almost to the Mendoza line. What a celebration that would be. And Tyler Fitzgerald, after having a decent day the night before, goes 2 strikeouts in 3 at-bats. And so the hitters don't do much. They had 1 for 6 with runners in scoring position. By the way, since May, the Giants are last in baseball with runners in scoring position. God, do we talk about that a lot. But the problem for me is right here. Hayden Birdsong was cruising early and then can only go 4, gives up 3 earned, gives up that big home run, 3-run shot. His ERA is up to 4.30. Seymour had to kind of wear it for a while. Carson Seymour, big dude. Looks like he could bring it. He's not ready. He didn't look very good at all. He gives up 3 home runs, did Carson Seymour. Welcome to the bigs. And then one of my least favorite Giant relievers, because the game is out of hand, they thought, let's not use anybody important here. Then Joey Lucchesi comes out, and Joey Lucchesi, there you go. So, again, they get out to a nice lead. It's 2-0. You're feeling good. And then Birdsong just loses it. I mean, that's just what happens. Third inning, but then it was really the fourth inning. And that ball's right down Broadway, a little bit up. It's almost like McCarthy was like, here, could you put it right here? And Birdsong's like, okay, I'll put it right where you want it. And it was up in the zone. He whacks it. He gets a 3-run shot. And from there, just no good. So you can look at it 2 different ways. They are really scuffling. They're scuffling with their starting pitching. The relief is not great. Wasn't great in June, up to their normal standards, which was the best bullpen in baseball. They're not hitting. They got a ton of injuries. Who's playing second? Who's playing third? I mean, again, if we go down the line here, Flores had to play third base last night. Fitzgerald doesn't deserve to be playing second base, but they have no other options. So Endeavors is dealing with a couple of minor injuries. And so maybe that's why his hitting is struggling. But Devers can't play in the field, and it's not because he's pissed off at the Giants. He would play third base if he was physically able to play third base. Bob Melvin said last night that he's not even cleared to play first base where he doesn't have to move near as much. So he can't play anything in the field, so he's your DH, so then you're like, okay, Flores can play first. Now Flores is at third. That's a defensive liability, and Dom Smith is at first base. So not only are they playing bad baseball, not only is the pitching not carrying them through these injuries because it just can't, But now you've got play, like, you don't want to play Dom Smith every day. You don't want to play Wilmer Flores at third base every day. You don't want to fill in Daniel Johnson in center because Jung-Hoo Lee hit a .150 in June, but that's where you are as a team. And you're just like, oh my God. So they're playing bad baseball. You put on top of that the injuries. But again, if Schmidt comes back and plays second, that's not the be-all end-all. It really started with the Matt Chapman injury, which forced some of these guys that aren't ready to play to play. So they need to get Chapman back ASAP. They need to get back on track. But here's the thing that was funny. They're only one game. This is where I'm saying it depends on how you look at this thing. Look, they're not playing great baseball. I'm not trying to say that they are. I'm not blowing any smoke here. But they're one game out of a wild card. So not everybody around them has been crushing it either. It's not good baseball. You're not excited about the baseball that they are playing. But they're one game out of the wild card, so don't panic. So if I'm Buster Posey and we're sitting here on July 2nd and I am 29 days away from the trade deadline, I'm going to my powers that be and we're having a discussion. When they went and got Devers, it was obvious. The pitching was great. Starting pitching was coming around. The relievers were the best in baseball. They needed a stick. It was that simple, right? Needed a stick. Okay, they got the best bat that's going to move during this deadline is already moved, and that's Rafael Devers. He'll come around. He's got some minor injuries. Maybe that's playing a little bit of havoc in what he's doing. Maybe he's trying a little bit too hard. Maybe he's trying to carry the entire offense, whatever the case may be. That's what's going on. But now all of a sudden, all these leaks are springing everywhere else. Injuries. So third and second base are a complete joke. Starting pitching, starting rotation out of your top two, out of Webb and Ray. The rest of these guys are completely hit and miss, which means you're having to use your bullpen more, which means the players that you want, like, so if your starters are giving you 6 and 7 consistently every single night, boom, 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 then you could use those high leverage relievers, and that's all you'd have to use. But now with the starting pitching outside of those two that I mentioned struggling a lot, then what's happening is you're having to use relievers that you don't necessarily want to use a lot more. So that's what's happening. I don't want to use Carson Seymour. He's not ready. I don't really want to use Bivens a whole lot. I don't want to use Luke Casey. I'm glad Jelly's gone. But now they're having to use more of those guys because they're having to fill in more of the gaps. And then in a game like last night, it's 8-2. I'm not using high leverage guys in that situation. So that's hurting the bullpen. So the bullpen's not pitching up to their level and what they did the first couple of months. The hitting has never really come around. They'll do the old roller coaster ride where they'll get 2 runs, 4 runs, 6 runs, 8 runs, 0-0, 1-1-2. That's what's going on. As far as the offense, in fact, they had a graphic last night in the postgame show that perfectly. So since May 17th, so you know I talk about this all the time. Their magic number is 4. All right. They score 4 runs, they win. They score 5. Oh my God. Their record, they're almost unbeatable. But since May 17th, look at this. 0 runs, 4 runs. 2 runs and 3 runs. So that's, they go under 4 runs, it's difficult for them to win. So 17, 21, 25 games, 3 runs or less, 16 games, 4 runs or more. And they've even lost because of the pitching's been struggling. They're even losing some of those games lately. Even if they're scoring 4 and 5 runs, they're even losing those games. So sorry to be the bearer of bad news and the bearer of bad graphics, but that's what's going on. And they aren't showing a sign of being able to pull out of it anytime soon, only because I don't know what, you know, Matt Chapman's got to come back and kind of balance the ship. And then you're looking at second base going, okay, who's ever left over, who's ever hot can play second base. And then, you know, Costa looks like he's got something, he gets hurt. Schmidt looks like he might be going on a little bit of a roll, at least as far as he's concerned, he gets hurt. So it's a combination of bad baseball and bad luck. That's what's going on as far as the Giants are concerned. But if you want to be glass half full person today, they are one game out of a wild card. And if I'm Buster Posey, here's what's much more difficult 29 days away from the deadline. And I'll ask you this. What do they get? What do you want? They need a stick, and I don't care where it is. Because Devers is just a DH, they could still use a stick at first base. They could use a right fielder in Mike Yastrzemski, and you know it's not Yastrzemski's fault. It's just if that's there, he can become a fourth outfielder, although I will say, if Jung-Hoo Lee keeps playing like this, I'm not opposed to putting Mike Yastrzemski in center and then getting somebody else in right. And I don't care how much Jung-Hoo Lee makes. Why would you compound a problem? Well, he's making so much money, we got to play him. No, you don't. Like, Jung-Hoo Lee in June hit .150. You can't stay in the lineup doing that. So if this continues, you got to bench him. I don't care if he's making 100 and something million. I don't care what it is. You're compounding the problem. So Jungwoo Lee is not beyond reproach here, which is if you continue to hit $150 a month after month after month and you can't figure it out, your defense is good, but Mike Yastrzemski can play center field for the Giants. You know, don't give me this Matos stuff. I know he doubled last night and people are, oh, Matos, this whole thing. He's never consistently hit. Matos is not the answer. Not to me. Not until he proves a hell of a lot more. And he's not a good defensive center fielder. We saw that last year. He's a roller coaster ride in center. So he's not your center fielder. You could move Yaz to center and Matos to right. And I still think that's too much for him. I think right field's difficult in this park. It's not that I'm not a Matos guy. It's just he's part of the problem with the Giants. He's an up and down guy too. So they need maybe an outfielder. Second base needs to be solved. And then right now, what's really screaming for this team is they need a solid. It doesn't need to be a superstar. They just need a solid number three guy, because four and five are always going to be up and down, especially five. But you need it. When the thing that got exciting was when Birdsong first got into the rotation, he was solid. And that's all you need out of your three. Just solid. Keep us in the game, because we got our first two. If we can get our third to be solid, and then our fourth and fifth are a little bit of what kind of wild card guys. Verlander could come around. He's had a couple of nice starts in a row. Roop is kind of up and down, but has been more up than down. Then you're okay. But they may have to go because, and you know, I keep saying this, I'm not. I love the Devers trade. 100 times out of 100, even though he's off to a slow start, I'm making it. But they lost major league starting pitching depth and bullpen depth, losing Harrison and losing Hicks. And I'm okay with it. But they had to think to themselves, well, a Wizenhunt or a Seymour or somebody could come up here and within the organization and fill that role. And they don't have one, clearly. They don't have that depth. So they may have to go out and get another arm. And the thing is, the easiest things to get at the deadline are relief pitching and mid to late, you know, four or five type starters. And that's what I'm saying. Maybe they need a four that can be a three or whatever the case may be. But all of a sudden, the Giants have not just one need. Okay, let's go get a big bat and we're done. Like, we got the bat of the deadline. We're done. And now you're looking at this thing going, well, they're clearly not done. They could use another bat. They could use a starting pitcher. You know, the bullpen's going to be fine, but they need a bat probably. And again, doesn't have to be a high-end bat. I mentioned a dude on the Orioles. Like, you know, the A's got a couple of guys. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be a high-end bat. You don't have to give up a big-time prospect. And then you probably need to get some pitching in your organization because they don't have it at the minor league level. Clearly, you need to get a solid veteran arm to come in here and be your third starter, because Birdsong is scaring me now. And I was the one hyping him up, so it's on me. Well, it's on him, but you know what I mean. But does this sound like a guy? Let's play this, and then I'll get out to the lines and I'll look at everybody. And then we'll talk about Melvin, because I know people are pissed about that. But I'm going to play this for you, but let me put a little caveat on it, which is this. Players play coaches coach, but it's up to the organization to figure things out. So if the same thing keeps happening again and again and again, then it's up to the organization, especially with a young player as talented as this, to figure it out. So JP Martinez, the pitching coach, whoever the sports psychology people are, Bob Melvin is the manager, Buster Posey representing the front office. Like, they've got to figure this out with this kid. He's got far too much arm talent and arsenal to be this mentally weak every time out. So in other words, once something goes wrong for Birdsong, that's it. He melts. He might as well have been outside in 110 degree temperatures in Arizona and not inside a nice, controlled, temperature-controlled building. He melted on the mound for how many times is this in a row? Four or five? Cruising. First sign of trouble, he can't get out of it. And it's on him, but the organization isn't helping. And that's what I'm saying is I'm going across this, and this is why it's confusing that Melvin gets the contract extension now. I know why, but I'm going to explain it in a minute. But Melvin can't figure him out. Pitching coach can't figure him out. Go to the hitting side. All these guys who are getting worse are not playing to the back of their baseball card. Pat Burrell can't figure out how to get these guys out of slumps. It's mind-boggling to me. It screams they need new voices in the dugout. So listen to what Birdsong says after the game here. He just can't figure it out. And a lot of times it's not up to a young player like this too. It's up to an organization who supposedly has seen this time and time again to figure it out for him. So take a listen to this. This is alarming.
Single time. I don't know what it is. Same thing every single time. I don't know what it is. Almost feels like a force field.
Hey, let's stop that for a second. It's the same thing time and time again. I don't know what it is. It's almost like a force field. All right, so the guy's a mental mess. You can see it on his face right there. Like, he's just like, I don't know what the hell's going on. Look, he's 23 years old. He's not supposed to know everything, but he's got great arsenal, great pitches. He gets, I don't know if he, you know, his location turns into shit. He doesn't have confidence in his stuff. Like, all of a sudden, he just loses it mentally, and that's on the organization. Continue.
I don't know why. Same mindset. Arm feels good. Just got to find something. Don't know what it is, but we'll find it.
Is there a disconnect between how you're feeling mentally versus the result?
Maybe. That has to be. I don't know how to flip that, but it needs to flip soon. So it's getting annoying.
I mean, that's a guy that is just mentally screwed right now. He's a mess. I mean, he just said it. He said exactly what we've been watching. He's not like oblivious to it. Like, I don't know. Every time it's the same thing. I'm cruising. Everything's great. I have confidence in my stuff. One bad pitch, one bad play, whatever the case may be. And then it's three or four or five in a row where it's either he can't find the zone, he starts walking guys, or a guy like last night, McCarthy, hits an absolute rocket off him and a pitch that's located so poorly. It's like, are you kidding me? Up in the zone fastball that the dude just teed off on. And he did it because JP Martinez came out and he's like, hey, you got to throw strikes here. You know, he was walking guys. He was out of the zone. He, his same thing, his release point, his confidence, all these things evade him. He gets smoked. I mean, I've seen this start over the last, what, three or four or five? And it seems like he's just doing the same thing and expecting different results. And this is team-wide. So this is not just him. Ryan Walker is saying he's having mental issues. From a plate standpoint, you can see these guys. Willie Adames has no confidence right now. Jung-Hoo Lee has no confidence right now. Like, what's going on in the clubhouse? What's happening? Where's the sports psychologist? Where's the expertise from the hitting coach? Where's the expertise from the pitching coach? Hey, settle down. I got you. We're going to do this, this, and this. Something. Nothing's changing. Nothing is changing. Birdsong just said it. Like, I don't know. It's getting annoying. I mean, he can't be in the rotation right now. I mean, let me play this again. I mean, this is really concerning.
Every single time. I don't know what it is. Almost feels like a force field. I don't know why. Same mindset. Arm feels good. Just got to find something.
It's up to him ultimately to find it. I get it. But that's why you're with a great organization. There's a difference between the bad ones and the good ones. And these are situations where the good organizations differentiate themselves from the bad. Who do you have? Who's helping you mentally? What veterans are helping you? What players are helping you? What manager is helping? What pitching coach? What hitting coach? What sports psychologist? What anything? Like, all these guys, it's so confusing to me because all these guys are struggling at a really high level. Pitching, hitting, all of them. And they're saying a lot of the same things. Ryan Walker, I'm struggling mentally. Birdsong just told you, I'm struggling mentally. You know, Jung-Hoo Lee can't get out of a major tailspin. Like, look at all these things. It is Tyler Fitzgerald, you know, at one point in June was hitting like 143. Like, I mean, these aren't just, I'm off a little. These are, you're off, you know, 50, 100 points in your batting average. Willie Adames, you know, guy, awesome year last year. I get it, man. You're playing at a different ballpark, but he's struggling. His splits on the road are bad too. It's not just at home. So there's something going on in this clubhouse that's not connecting. And it's a miracle, really, that they are where they are. Again, they're one game out of a wild card. But you listen to these guys night in and night out, talk after games. They are all flummoxed about what's going on. They're all just like, I don't know. Gee, Mr. Hand, I don't know. Like, it's unreal. And then on top of it, so let's go to this part of it, because this is the part I'm sure you love the most. And I've said this again and again, and I'll stop saying it. I love Bob Melvin. Great guy. Has treated me well over the years. There's no question about it. Treated my son well, like I said. We went down to spring training. But this is not a guy that deserves to have his option picked up right now for 2026. There's no way. Pat Burrell should be fired right now. Bob Melvin should be on the hot seat. And the way that Birdsong is talking, I don't know what J.P. Martinez does. I don't know J.P. Martinez. I've never talked to him. I talked to Dave Rigetti a lot, but as far as JP Martinez, I don't know. I mean, it's a really great bullpen. I get it. But there are guys, you know, some of your guys give Logan Webb credit, but Logan Webb was great before he got here. Robbie Ray was great before he got here. The guys that, you know, these young pitchers who are up and down, up and down, up and down. And right now, when you hear Birdsong say something like that, that's an indictment on the entire organization. But start, first in line is the pitching coach. How come you can't figure out what's going on with this guy? And it's not stuff, it's mental. And then all of a sudden he loses confidence in stuff. He's putting balls right on tees. That's what happened with the McCarthy home run last night. Like, that ball was on a friggin' tee, man. And that was right after you went out there. You're like, hey, man, can't walk, guys. Let's go. What do you think the first pitch is going to be? Downtown fastball, and that's where he hit it. So, look, if I'm Buster Posey, we're having a damn meeting. And I'm going, what are we doing? Now, let me give you the rationale. Not that you would agree with it, but let me give you the rationale behind why they did this when they did this for Bob Melvin. All right, we're going through a tailspin. People are going to start questioning whether, you know, Bob's on the hot seat. He's in the last year of his deal. We don't need that as part of this whole process. Maybe that's going to, you know, that maybe that's going to affect the clubhouse. In the midst of this tailspin, let's extend Bob, or let's pick up his option for 2026, and we'll show solidarity. We're a strong organization. We're going to pick this up. I get that mentality, and that's why they did it. That's why they did it. You know, let's show solidarity in the face of the worst stretch of the season. I get it. But we've said this time and time again, just because I like Bob Melvin doesn't mean I think he should be managing the Giants. And if his name wasn't Bob Melvin, I'd probably be crying for his job right now. But first and foremost, Pat Burrell's got to go. And if I was Buster Posey, as much as I'm sure he likes and respects Bob Melvin, he has to sit down with him and go, Bob, this is a clear example. We think we have more talent than this. I just got you Rafael Devers. I know we're going through some injuries here, but what's going on with Adames? What's going on with Jung-Hoo Lee? What's going on with Hayden Birdsong? What's going on with Justin Verlander? What's going on? I mean, there are so many guys on this team right now that are better than the way that they're playing. Why can't we pull Patrick Bailey out of a tailspin to at least be a 230 hitter with enough power? You know, again, a lot of catchers in this league are not great hitters because they have so much responsibility and they're squatting behind the plate and they're not working on hitting as much because they're talking to pitchers and they got a lot of responsibilities. I get it. Not everybody's going to be Buster Posey or Salvador Perez or, you know, guys who can be offensive catchers. There's just not a lot of those around. I get it. But if Patrick Bailey can be, you know, hit 230 with 10 home runs and 55 RBIs every year in addition to his defense, then that's okay. I can live with that. He doesn't have to be a 25 home run guy. He doesn't. That's okay. He doesn't have to be, you know, win a batting title like Buster Posey and be an MVP. That's okay. But he can't hit 197 or 194 or whatever he's hitting right now, and he's actually hot right now. That's amazing. He was hitting in the 180s like 10 days ago. So none of these guys are figuring it out. That's an indictment on the coaching. That's an indictment on the organization. Nobody's improving. If it was one guy, it's like, okay, that's an outlier. But Bailey is struggling. Adames is struggling. Lee is struggling. Whatever's happening at first base is struggling. Devers comes over here. He's not hitting. Like, okay, that's a lot of people. The pitching staff right now, you got two guys who you didn't even have to worry about them coming into the season. Logan Webb and Robbie Ray, they've done it before. Before this staff was ever assembled, those guys were good. Okay, but what about the rest of the guys? Okay, Duvall has done it before this staff. Rodriguez, I have to give him credit for that one. Okay, maybe you helped in his development. But for the most part, you know, your starting pitching is up and down. There's issues, man. And it's screaming coaching. It's screaming the mental side of the game. It's screaming approach. It's screaming, okay, how do you get ready for every game, every at-bat? Like, it's players play, coaches coach. But it's getting obvious here. When you see post-game interviews like that where Hayden Birdsong is completely lost, that somebody's got to help this kid, man. He's 23 years old in his first go-around as a, you know, every fifth day you get the ball. This is his first crack at it. So you got to help the kid, man. Like, he's not Logan Webb. He's not Randy Ray. He's not Justin Verlander. He hasn't done it before. And he's standing right in front of the media going, please, someone fucking help me. And there's no one doing it. And yet, let's extend Bob Melvin and give him 2026. Again, I get it. The ship is sinking. You want somebody to kind of hold on. We got this. All right. But the thing he did with the A's was he overachieved with talent that you didn't think could do it. He overachieved. And right now, for the second consecutive year, he's underachieving. And with the Padres, he underachieved. Like, he's on a bad roll here. This is like 3-4 years in a row that Bob Melvin has had talent and wasn't able to corral said talent and turn it into a cohesive unit. They're one game back in the wild card, so I'm going to give them a break. But they are in a major tailspin, and it's not getting better. Like, last night was 8-2. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was flipping around. I was watching Cubs-Indians. I was watching comedies. Like, I was like, well, this is they're not coming back. I know this offense. It's not coming back. They're not hitting. You know, that's not, I mean, they gave it up. They're like, Carson Seymour, you're just going to have to wear it. We can't burn our bullpen here. I mean, they gave up on the game last night. Anyway, all right, I'm done with the rant. I'm just saying, like, this is screaming one last time. This is screaming something's going on. And coaching, managing, pitching coaches, hitting coaches, mental, sports psychologists, whatever they're employing and whoever they're employing that do these things are not doing a good enough job. Because it's not one or two guys. It's about 10 right now that are like, I don't know. Willy Adames right now is like, I don't know. You know, Patrick Bailey at the plate is like, I don't know. Birdsong is like, I don't know. Walker's like, I don't know. Like, that's a lot of guys on one team that are going, I don't know. That's not good. That is absolutely an indictment on the organization. One or two guys, three guys struggling. Okay. You can count on one hand guys who aren't, right? Ramos is playing pretty well. He's out. The early season Flores, he's long gone. Let's see. The two starters I keep mentioning, the bullpen for the most part, the high leverage guys, who we know who they are. Okay, that's it. Now what? Now who? I mean, yeah, last night it was like once McCarthy hit that home run, it was like, what else is on? And that meatball that was right down the middle, served up hot. Boom. You're just like, man, that's that game. All right. Sorry. Went on a long one there. Feels like watching them slowly twirling down the toilet bowl. That I couldn't have said it better myself. Honestly. I'm blaming Farr on. Once it was 6-2, it was over. Yeah, I thought it was, what did McCarthy, 3-run shot? 3-2, I think it was. I thought it was over at that point. I'm like, ugh. Let's see. Is that official, Mike Brown to the Knicks? God. I tell you. It's so uninspiring. Nothing against Mike Brown. How many teams? I mean, Cleveland, the Lakers, filled in with the Warriors, was with the Kings. I mean, we know what Mike Brown's bringing to the table. Mike Brown is the type of coach that is hired to be fired. Like, Mike Brown, what is Mike Brown going to last a year or two? When they fired Thibodeau, I showed you the list. I mean, from Don Nelson to Larry Brown to Lenny Wilkins to some of the best coaches of all time have tried to fix the Knicks, and they can't. And then, look, Mike Brown's going to get paid to not coach. I guarantee you, Mike Brown's going to get fired before the end of his contract. And that's the best job you can get, getting fired, getting paid for not working. That's what Mike Brown's going to be. But, my God. 49ers fans says, you're acting like Birdsong should be a Cy Young winner his first year in the rotation. He's a young pitcher. Stop whining, John. No, I get it. No, I totally do. It's just he's got better stuff. And what I'm simply saying is that when a pitcher's as lost as what I played, that's organizational. That's my point. I don't think he should be Cy Young. Should it be a solid number three starter with that kind of stuff? I think he could be. I mean, that's why I said it when he was in the rotation. And I appreciate it. Look, like I said, I don't have to be right here. And I love that you called me out on it. What I'm saying is that I think he's good enough to be a number three starter. I've talked to him enough times to know that he's a mentally strong player. He's got ridiculous stuff. What are you yawning about? So anyway, I don't know if you heard that, but anyway, he's mad at me. But anyway, look, that was a guy who is searching for it, and the organization is supposed to help you out. That's my point. Am I thinking that he's going to be a Cy Young? But no. But could he be a number three starter? Absolutely. Man, I can't believe they hired Mike Brown. Like, you go through that many coaches, and then you say to yourself, Mike Brown is going to be the guy? Like, when has Mike Brown ever been that? Like, he's a stopgap guy. And that's such an uninspiring hire. He's going to get crushed in New York. That's too bad. I like the guy personally. Let's see, what else do we have? All right, that's my rant on the Giants. Melvin's option picked up for 26. But I saw that last night. I'm like, oh, my God, people are going to be so pissed. People are going to be so pissed. We have our first super of the day from our good friend, The Netta. Good morning. At this point of the season, are the Giants buyers or sellers now? What a great question. I think because they picked up Devers, I don't think there's any – they can't be sellers. They can't pick up Devers and then have Buster Posey go in there because Nutter – and I think this is absolutely accurate. That Buster Posey went into the powers that be that have the purse strings because he doesn't have them and said, look, if we get Rafael Devers, this is going to put us over the top. Remember, when they got Devers, they're right there with the Dodgers. They're feeling great. High point of the season. Devers got a couple of hits that night. And he told the powers that be, the people around that big mahogany table, hey, this is our missing piece. We get this guy. We're cooking with gas. And they said, okay, we'll do it. And they get him. And they didn't expect him to have to come back in there and go, hey, we need more. Now, that's the big question to me is, are they actually going to say, okay, we'll let you get another starter. We'll let you get, you know, a fringy kind of a second baseman that's at least average at second base so that we can pull this thing together. Then Chapman comes back and maybe we get Devers at first base. He gets into better shape. He gets completely healthy. Okay, so now it's Devers at first base. We pick up a second baseman that's at least average. We prey on Adames. Chapman comes back. Bailey's Bailey. Ramos starts going. They figure out Jungwoo Lee and Yaz is in right. Like, remember at the beginning of the season when I said, and I say this all the time when it comes to teams, if you have ifs, what ifs, the more ifs you have, the worse you are. If. Well, for a minute there, the Giants were in really good shape and you didn't have to say a bunch of ifs. But now it's if first base, if second base, if shortstop, if catcher, if center field, if a third starter and on in the rotation. That's a lot of ifs all of a sudden. But I will say, if you were half full guy, one back in the wild card. So look, they can fix this. But what needs to happen is probably Buster Posey needs to walk back in there to the powers that be and say, we need a third starter, which shouldn't cost us much. You can get that on the open market at the trade deadline. And we could use an average second baseman. Baltimore has one you could get. The A's have one you could get. That kind of a player. I'm not suggesting they go out and they get, you know, Ketel Marte. Like, they're not, of course they wouldn't do that, but I'm just simply saying that they don't have to go swing for the fences again for a second baseman. They just need to get one that's going to give them average to above average production. Like, I'd love a guy that had an OPS of like 735 or something, you know, just an, you know, right there. Could knock 10 home runs out, knock in 60 runs in a season, play good defense. Like, just give me an average second baseman. Because then I can get Devers at first, average second base, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's what they need. I think they need a second baseman that doesn't have to cost them too much and a 3-4-5 type of starter. I mean, I know it sounds simple, but they could do those things. But it's just going to be a matter of, can he go back into that room after swinging for the fences and bringing in a big fat contract with Rafael Devers and say, you know I told you I was done, but I need this and this. I don't know if they would do it. To answer your question, though, Nutter, I don't think they can be sellers. I just don't. I don't think they can go in after getting Devers and hype that all up and then be sellers. And I don't think they're sellers. I think they're better than that. I think the we didn't talk about it a lot at the time, but the Chapman injuries absolutely crushed him. Chapman injuries absolutely crushed him because they've been terrible at third base. So, you know, remember a couple of weeks ago, maybe a week ago, I showed you OPS at each position. And catcher, they were terrible. First, they were terrible. Second, they were terrible. Center, they were terrible. Like, now you're adding third base to that because when Chapman went down, I think the Giants were like second at third base as far as OPS, second or third. And, you know, given his defense and everything that Matt Chapman does to win games, that we just don't realize he's a really good base runner, all those kind of things. You don't realize how great Matt Chapman is because everybody's locked in on this, that, and the other. But not realizing what a great complete player he is. And when he leaves, not only, you know, he's a great leader in the dugout, great defender, can come up with a lot of clutch hits, has some pretty decent power, all those kind of things, holds teammates accountable. That's hard to do when you're hurt. So all those things that he brings to the table, that's a massive loss. And it just so happens that they start to go into this tank when Chapman's not in the lineup. He's huge. So, yeah, getting him back is going to be massive. All right. There's the story on the Giants. Keep giving me your thoughts on them if you would like. Again, if you're watching the show later, hit me right under here. And at John Lund Radio on X is a good place to hit me up if you've got any Giants questions, comments, or thoughts. The fan booted. I don't know if you heard, but the guy who we talked about it yesterday, the Arizona fan, and he was all over TV and radio and all that and all the TV channels, local TV channels yesterday. I guess he's done that up to like 10 times, he's said on some of these things, but he's been booted for the rest of the season. What I thought was funny, not that I'm defending the guy, but what I thought was funny about him getting booted a couple of nights ago was he actually caught the ball behind the outfielder. So it wasn't fan interference. So I don't know why they kicked him out of that particular game, because I see why he was kicked out of others. But that one, he just caught the ball and they didn't even call, they called it a double. It wasn't fan interference. So anyway, he did, by the way, and maybe he had the best angle because he caught the ball. He said that where he was, if he wouldn't have caught it, it would have gone off, he thought, the top of the wall and hit the yellow line. That's what he said. So those of you who said yesterday, because I thought it was a double, I thought they called it right. People are like, no, Lund, that was a home run. Well, they had the guy did say he thought it was going to hit the yellow line. So that would have been a home run. That would have tied the game. Probably would have changed things. So that fan saved the Diamondbacks. Crazy. All right, that's the baseball side of things. Anything else that you want to talk about as far as the Giants? We can always hit that as well. But let's see. Let's go. NBA is really crazy right now. So the cover of the show today is that Coming Home, episode 181 for Damian Lillard. Now, Damian's got an Achilles. Who knows if he's going to play next year at all. But what's interesting about him, and I'm going to play something from our good friend Mark Spears in just a second, but here's the thing about Lillard that's amazing, all right? So the contract's got two more years left on it, and I think it's at about $55 million a year. Let's just say that just because that's about right. He's giving me dirty looks again. For about $110 million. Well, what Milwaukee's doing, Milwaukee, is they are spreading this out over 5 years for about $22 million per season. But the money comes to Damian Lillard over the next 2 years at $55 million per. So he's loving this, because what this does is he gets the money. He doesn't have to wait. It's not going to be $22 million a year for five for him. That's just how they're doing it from a money standpoint on paper. That's all on paper. He's getting $54 million, $55 million the next 2 years, like he was playing for the Bucks. And then any money he gets on a team that he signs with is offset. So let's say that he goes to the Warriors for the sake of conversation. And like I said, I'll play this from Mark Spears in just a second. Let's just say it's the veteran minimum for Lillard, right? The Warriors pay him five. Well, that money's offset. So he doesn't make any more money. The Warriors, again, hypothetically speaking, can pay him $50 million, and he's already getting $50 million from the Bucks. So that's offset, and then he gets only $5 million from the Bucks, and it's $55 million. So he's going to sign. My point here is he's going to sign for the next 2 years, and half of it at least. So like a lot of people are saying maybe he could be ready after the All-Star break next year. So he's going to sign a two-year deal, and the reason he's going to do that is because the Bucks are paying him that $55 million a year for the next 2 years. And any money he gets from another team that he signs with is offset. So he's not going to make an extra dime. So he's going to do something that's really, really smart. It's kind of what Russell Wilson did with the Steelers. Like, you get all this money, and then there's a provision in the players union contract is that money is offset. So whether $5 million comes from the Warriors and $50 comes from the Bucks, or $20 comes from the Warriors and $30 comes from the Bucks, whatever the case may be, he's getting the $55 million. So what is going to be smart for him is, why would I put a bunch of financial burden on the team I'm going to? I'll just take $1 million from that team. So I get $1 million check from the Warriors, and I get $54 million from the Bucks to make up the $55 million. Make sense? So there's no reason for Damian Lillard to ask for a bunch of money. Let's just, again, just hypothetically speaking, say he goes to the Warriors. They don't have to pay him hardly anything. He's not going to want hardly anything from that team. Whatever the lowest amount legally by the bylaws, by the rules that he can take, he'll take. And then all the burden will go on to the Bucks. And it doesn't matter to the Bucks because they're paying him out. It's not, they didn't reach a buyout agreement. It's part of the the contract, the player's contract. They can do this over a 5 year period for $22 million. So if he goes to the Warriors, they could pay him $1 million. It doesn't matter. He doesn't make any more money or any less money. So he's going to want to put the least amount of burden on the team that he goes to, most of the burden goes on the Bucks. They've already got it on their books, and the money's offset. So people are like, well, does, you know, would Damian Lillard be a good idea? You're not going to get a player of Damian Lillard's caliber, even coming off an Achilles injury, for the low amount of money that you're going to be able to pay him. So wherever he goes, and look, he's another one of the old guys for the Warriors, and he certainly doesn't help their size. I get that. But what I put there on the, and I'm jumping ahead of the Giannis thing, I'll do that next, but it says Lillard, and then in parentheses, Horford and a question mark. Maybe they go Horford for the size. Lillard is like a trade acquisition at the deadline, and you have Horford and you have Lillard, and Lillard is the third guard in the rotation. Now, I don't know how happy he's going to be with that, but that's probably the best situation for the Warriors is he's a third guard in the rotation. I don't know if Podziemski starts, comes off the bench. Maybe Lillard does. But at this point of his career, I could see Lillard going, hey, man, I'm cool being, you know, the microwave coming off the bench. So, and especially coming off an injury, I could totally see that. So what would your thoughts be? Here is Mark Spears talking about Kuminga and Damian Lillard.
Different people is like, where is he getting this money from? What is he proving? We've seen splashes.
Yeah, we saw it when Steph went out in the playoffs last year.
But not something consistent. One GM said, I think he needs to worry more about the fit than the money right now and take care of the money later with his play. So what I'm hearing the Warriors are still optimistic that they're going to re-sign him. But if they re-sign him, maybe that's for a sign and trade. Another thing I'm hearing of the many teams that reached out to Damian Lillard, the Warriors were one of those teams. Mm. This is a guy that grew up going to games at Oracle Arena, sneaking in the media room, getting sodas.
All right, so there you go. He's talking about Kuminga there, and we can talk about Kuminga. Well, I think a lot of teams are just waiting on Kuminga. I think there is going to be a market for Kuminga. What's funny is, and look, they've got to fill time. ESPN does, and all these other NBA TV and all these entities that, in, you know, YouTube shows and my show and all sorts of stuff like that. It's day the second, so we're just a couple of days into the new league year, into free agency, and people are making proclamations of whether there's a market or there isn't for a guy. Well, who'd have known that Damian Lillard was going to be released by the Bucks and could sign with any team? Who knew that Miles Turner was going to stay within the division with Milwaukee and go over to Milwaukee after Indiana, which totally screws Indiana, because now Halliburton is out and Miles Turner is gone. And who knew that DeAndre Ayton was going to get a buyout with the Blazers, and now Indiana might be in the market for a center. And who knew that the Lakers and the Warriors were going to sit around and wait for Giannis, which I'll get into in a second. Like, things change constantly. What if Giannis says, you know what, I don't want to be in Milwaukee, and goes to San Antonio? Or what if he goes to the Lakers? Or what if he goes to the Warriors? Like, how does that change things? It changes them immensely. Because then all of a sudden it's like, well, let's get rid of Kuminga, because clearly, and again, Giannis is another player who's not going to shoot from the outside, and Kuminga's not going to fit within that. So even, you know, it somehow if they got him, like, so markets change all the time. All of a sudden something's going to open up on a certain team. Like, I don't know what Boston's trying to do. Boston's like, you know what, we can't really win this year. We don't have Tatum, so let's just kind of, we're going to try to win some, but win for the future. So wouldn't Kuminga fit there? The Bulls have still been talked about. Miami is one of those teams that the Lakers and the Warriors sending around to see what Giannis is going to do. If Giannis chooses Miami, what does that mean for the Lakers? If Giannis goes to the Lakers, what does that mean for Miami? Are they in a Kuminga sweepstakes? So these are puzzle pieces that are constantly moving, and yet proclamations are being made by Windhorse and Screamin' A and Kendrick Perkins and all these people when we don't even know what the chessboard's going to even look like. We're a couple of days into the season. One move necessitates another. One move opens up a roster spot or a necessity for another team. So we just don't know what the market is going to be. People are making proclamations. There's no market for this guy. There's this. There's that. Look, teams are sitting back, and they have plans. They have a chalkboard. They have a grease board that says, if not this, this. They have five or six or seven plans. It's not over. Like, the offseason isn't even over. It hasn't even started. There's a number of players, even though a lot of the free agents are gone, there's still trades that can happen. That just changed that team. Now they might need Kuminga. They might need, you know, we're just sitting back seeing. Like, one of the biggest thing going on right now, so let me just transition into Giannis. The biggest thing right now is, okay, Miles Turner comes over to Milwaukee. And I showed you this yesterday. So given how crazy the East is right now, Boston's out of it. with the way that they're doing business. They traded Drew Holiday and they lose Jason Tatum. And now all of a sudden they're kind of, you know, trying to 2027. It's a big free agent class. So now they're going to open up money for 2027 is what they're thinking about. And all of a sudden the Hawks are like, wow, we're going to make some moves. And they go out and they get Porzingis and they, you know, they sign some guys, make some trades. And all of a sudden you're looking at Atlanta going, maybe they can do something. And then Milwaukee, you think, is out of it, but they get Miles Turner and they don't look half bad, especially in the East. The Knicks just hired Mike Brown. What are they going to do as far as, you know, would they move Karl Anthony Towns? If I'm the Knicks right now, I'm looking around going, okay, my roster's flawed, but hell, the East is an absolute dumpster fire right now. I'm probably the favorite in the East. So, you know, Philadelphia is a team that was a complete dumpster fire, but if Paul George and Joel Embiid get healthy, plus they have the third pick in the draft and they have Maxey, like, isn't Philadelphia all of a sudden near the top of the East? Like, all of a sudden, with all these moves, teams in the Eastern Conference, Miami's a perfect example, sits there and goes, you know, there's no dominant team in this conference. You know, if we went out and we got a Kuminga. So there's a lot of moving parts, and yet proclamations are being made that there is a market for this player, there isn't a market, this guy, that guy. And what's really happening is Giannis is just sitting there going, I don't know. And Miami, the Lakers, and the Warriors, like, everyone's sitting there going, why aren't the Warriors doing anything? Because they're waiting on Giannis. Why aren't the Lakers doing anything? They're waiting on Giannis. Why isn't Miami doing anything? They're waiting on Giannis. That's the big holdup here. And they need him to make some sort of a proclamation, whether he's going or staying. Here's Shams yesterday on that very topic.
Been today, but what's happening all offseason in Milwaukee? And he took notice of this move, no doubt, but sources tell me that it's more than just tonight. And at the end of the offseason, my understanding is Giannis Antetokounmpo will ask himself, will look himself in the mirror, look around him, and say, can I win a championship with this team as currently constructed? And the answer to that question faces not only him, but the Bucks and Milwaukee. And again, what happens if that answer is no? The only person that knows the answer to that is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
All right, here's the first part of that is the part that is the most confusing, because Sham said right there that he's going to wait till the end of the offseason. No. If I'm Milwaukee, as much as I love you and I appreciate you bringing a championship to my city in 2021, you got to decide now. Like, this is holding up the entire offseason, including Milwaukee. Like, if he goes to the Bucks and says, look, and, you know, the Celtics having that injury, Halliburton having that injury, that really helped the Bucks. Because under normal circumstances, if Boston has Tatum and Indiana has Halliburton, which means Miles Turner probably doesn't leave, then all of a sudden they're going, well, we're not as good as that team, and we're not as good as the Knicks, and we're not as good as the Hawks. They could probably look at six, and Giannis is saying, I probably want out of here. But now it's currently constructed, even though they're not very, I still don't think they're very good. Like, Miles Turner's okay. He's not a superstar. So Miles Turner, Giannis, Kyle Kuzma, Porter, you know, Gary Trent Jr., that's their starting lineup. Like, is that an NBA Finals team? No, that's not an NBA Finals team. And so if I'm Giannis, but there was a great piece. Sam Amick, of course, wrote it in The Athletic today, and I encourage you to read it. Great piece. And what he does is he goes back every time that Giannis has thought, his eye wanders a little bit, they go out and they do something and they make a move. You know, they went out and they got Lillard. They went out and they've got players. When he was up for extensions, Milwaukee every single time has said, all right, well, what about this guy? And then he signed the extension. It's happened twice before with Milwaukee, whereas I was wandering a little bit and then they make a move. Like, the first time they got Drew Holiday, and Drew Holiday was great. They win a championship. Second time is they moved Drew Holiday to get Damian Lillard. He was really happy. Didn't work out. But still, he was on the verge of an extension. He signed it because Milwaukee made a move. Now this is the third time, and Milwaukee says, how about Miles Turner? How about a week Eastern Conference? And Shams is saying right there that Giannis is going to wait. He can't. Like, I mean, he can, but if I'm Milwaukee, I'm going, dude, we need to know. Because everybody else is going to make these moves, and then you're going to decide at the end of free agency. Milwaukee's got to go to him and go, hey, man, we just made our big move for Miles Turner. This is our team. Milwaukee's not making a lot of big moves from here. So now Giannis has got to look at it and say, Atlanta made some moves. New York is better. Boston and Indiana, because of major Achilles injuries, are out of it. Like, where do we sit? They're probably fourth or fifth. They're not going to the NBA Finals. They're not beating Oklahoma City. They're not beating Houston. He's not winning a championship. So right now, if you look at it objectively, I'm not a Milwaukee fan, but if I'm Giannis, I got to look around. What if I'm on the Lakers? And again, what do they have to give up? What if I'm the Warriors? What do the Warriors have to give up? What if I'm in the Heat? What do the Heat have to give up? Like, if I'm him, I want to stay in the East, to be honest, because I think it's a lot easier. Depending on what they'd have to give up, I mean, Giannis to the Warriors, but it's not for free. It's Giannis for Kuminga, Pajemski. You got to make them salaries match. He's over $50 million. There's probably another player in there. People are going, Moody. Okay. A couple of first round picks. I mean, would Milwaukee take that? Probably not. You know, so maybe. I don't know what the Lakers, what it was going to be, Austin Reeves. I mean, they're going to give up Austin Reeves. They don't have a whole lot to give up. You know, LeBron's not going in that deal. They'd want LeBron, Luka, and Giannis as their core. So anybody not named those guys, you know, Dalton Connect, somebody like that is going to go. All right. Miami, they are not going to want to trade Bam Adebayo or Tyler Hero. So anybody else is on. But, you know, look at Miami, for example. No state income tax in Florida. He's going to play with Adebayo and Hero and then whatever else they can put around him. In the Eastern Conference, that's not bad. You know, if your big three is Adebayo, Hero, and Antetokounmpo, then that might be able to win the East, depending on what they can keep around him. But what are you going to give up if you're the Heat? They don't have a whole lot. So anyway, point is that the entire offseason is revolving for the Lakers, Warriors, and Heat around Giannis. And if Shams is right, and he generally is, he's going to wait till the end of the offseason. If I'm his agent, I'm calling now. Like, there's not another major move that Milwaukee is going to make. It's not like they're, you know, LA or Golden State or New York or somebody like that that like players are clamoring to play for. You've made your move, and it was Miles Turner, and that's not enough to win the East in my mind. So he's got to make up his mind sooner rather than later, or there's a logjam in the West, which we don't generally care about, or logjam in the NBA, which we don't generally care about if the Warriors were more set. But I don't think the Warriors are making a big move right now because they're saying, hang on, everybody. And what could happen here in the worst case scenario would be, all right, musical chairs is going on. Giannis hasn't made a decision. Horford goes somewhere else. Not a lot of people are real high, I'm told, in the organization for DeAndre Ayton. But if he was the last guy available, they could get him for a decent price, and he just got bought out by Portland. So it's the same kind of a situation as Lillard. I mean, it's going to be offset. So you could probably get, you know, DeAndre Ayton for the mid-level, which is 14.1. My God, remember when the mid-level is like $3 million? Now it's like 14 million. So, you know, I mean, that my problem is, let's say they get in, let's go back to that question. So if they get Damian Lillard or Ayton or Horford. So it's Lillard and one of the two big guys, Ayton or Horford. Where are they in the West? Are they better than Oklahoma City? No. Are they better than Houston? No. And then it starts to get murky. You know, I don't know what the Clippers are health-wise. I don't know what, you know, Dallas, they're going to mesh. How good is Cooper Flagg going to be? San Antonio, Wembanyama coming off a major injury, but I think that he's going to take another step forward. I think San Antonio is going to make a jump. Denver has made some really nice moves. Denver's major issue has always been depth. They win a championship, and then it's like, well, they just don't have enough depth. And they just went out in one fell swoop, and Michael Porter was a roller coaster ride. And so Porter is out. Cam Johnson is in. That's probably even to me. But then they pick up a pick in that deal. Then that allows them to save money, and then they pick up Bruce Brown, who is really good for them, and they pick up Valanciunas from the Kings. And all of a sudden, the Nuggets have depth. And one of the things they have is Jokic doesn't have to play into the high 30s or low 40s every night because now you have Valanciunas, and they'll even probably play those guys together, but at least it gives him them a decent option when Jokic is on the bench. So they've done a really nice job. So who are the Warriors better than in terms of those teams? I don't know. Even if you add one of those bigs and Lillard, and Lillard's not going to come back till, I don't know, spring. I mean, maybe he's back right after the All-Star break. Maybe it's March, maybe it's April, and how good could he be right after that? I don't know. So that's a lot. Did I miss anything from basketball standpoint? That's just a lot of stuff, man. There's a ton going on. But the point is it's rotating around Giannis right now. And it's holding back, I think, the Warriors, the Lakers, and Miami. So there you go. Anything I'm missing here, or did somebody sign while I was talking? Give me your thoughts on what's going on as far as NBA is concerned. But like I said, if it's Lillard and one of the bigs, I still don't think they're a championship contender in the West. I don't think that's enough for the Warriors. So there you go. Mm-hmm. All right, there you go. Let's see. All right, there's the NBA side of things. So here's where we are in episode 181. The Giants blown out 8-2. Birdsong loses it. Melvin's option is picked up in 2026. It's like the Titanic. All is well. All is well. Look, we picked his option up. The fan was booted for the rest of the year in Arizona, waiting on Giannis, Lillard/Horford. Would that be enough? They don't have either of those guys, but just saying that there is rumors as I've played. Diddy verdict is out. Good lawyers will get you a lot, which is he was found guilty on prostitution charges. One with his former girlfriend. Well, actually two former girlfriends. Those were the prostitution charges, but he's acquitted on the major deals, which so there was five charges. He was acquitted on three: sex trafficking and racketeering. There were three charges there, and there were two prostitution charges. He was found guilty on the prostitution charges. Those charges have a maximum of 10 years each. So he could get 20 years in prison, but he would have gotten life sentences on the other one. So we shall see as far as how much he goes to prison. I have a weird feeling he's either not or very little after all of that. So, but good, you know, good lawyers can get you out of it. So the three major charges Diddy did not get charged on. The two involving his longtime girlfriend and then a girlfriend after that are prostitution charges, and those he got nailed on, and those are those are 10 years each. 10 years each on Diddy. I got a weird feeling he's not even going to go to prison. Maybe he will, short period of time. But anyway, he must have some pretty good lawyers. So that's the latest on Diddy. Caboose. I have a really good caboose for you. It's weird, but I have a real... No, it's not weird. It's just funny. Any more thoughts, questions, comments on any of the things that I have discussed today, or we'll move on to the sweet, clean, family-friendly caboose pistol. Lillard makes no impact in 2026, so what does it matter? Yeah, you might be right on that. I mean, some people are saying maybe right after the All-Star break, but he's not going to be the same kind of a player. So he's going to get a two-year contract. He's going to rehab with that team probably the most next year. And the only reason I think Lillard fits is because of this whole two-year window thing. So if he signs a two-year deal, then he's on a two-year plan, just like Butler, just like Draymond, just like Curry, just like Kerr, and he could be a third guard, at least in that last year. So that would make some sense. So we'll see. But he did say, as you heard Mark Spears say, they did reach out to him. So that could be kind of interesting. And then Al Horford's like 90 years old, so he would fit perfectly within what the Warriors are trying to do. So like I said, if that was their offseason, if their offseason was Lillard, who would only play a year to a year and a half, or not even a year and a half, maybe the playoffs next year, and Al Horford, that wouldn't get me overly excited. Now, that's why I think they're sitting back. They're looking at the West. The West is totally opposite of the East right now. The West, you're looking at it, and you're going, damn, Oklahoma City, Houston, Dallas got better, Denver got better, San Antonio's a bit of a wild card. Like, that, you could be a really good team. You could win the East, and you could be seventh or eighth in the West. And that's where I look at the Warriors. I'm like, look, the Warriors can improve themselves. And still, you'd look at them and go, God, they're fifth, sixth, seventh in the West. You look at the Eastern Conference, everyone's scrambling in the East. Go, wait a minute. I mean, the Hawks are going, hey, we could win this thing. The Knicks are like, we're the favorite. Boston and Indiana, due to injuries, are way down the line a little bit here. Miami's going, well, we're kind of a mess, but if we added Giannis and we could keep, you know, Bam Adebayo and keep Tyler Hero, we could be in this thing. Like, the East is going, wait a minute, it's wide open. The West, you're going, damn, you could be really good. You could be the seventh team in the West and be the best team in the East. I mean, that's the way it looks right now because of those injuries. So, and that's where Giannis has got to make a decision. Like, well, geez, we're not that great, but man, the East is not very good. So anyway, there's that. All right, let me give you the sweet, clean, family-friendly caboose pistol. And as does happen oftentimes, and I've seen this a lot, I don't know, it just hit me as extra funny today. So what was going on? Well, let me just, let me play the caboose and then I'll explain this. Sweet, clean, family-friendly caboose pistol time.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
The old Caboose Pistol, everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose
Pistol? I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John.
By the way, this is a good idea. They've tried to get Siakam in the past. Hi, M-Easy. Go get Siakam. Yeah, I mean, if Indiana's blowing it up, they're going, God, we're not going to have Halliburton. We just lost Turner. They could go, meh. Blow it up. Siakam would be good. He's so underrated. All right, so here's what's going on. I do this all the time. I'm getting videos ready for the show, and then another video will pop up after that, and I get addicted, and I start flipping. But this one hit me funny for the Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol because we needed to have one today because of the way that the Giants are playing, because the Warriors have done nothing so far in free agency, but especially because the Giants just stink and they got blown out. And after McCarthy hit that home run last night, I was like, well, this game's over. What else is on? So I had seen these a bunch of times, and every single time, I don't know, maybe you don't think they're as funny as me, but every single time I see these, I belly laugh. Like, it's not just kind of like chuckle, like, this is funny. And I would love, love, love to do this, but then I'd probably be too scared. But these are so funny. And a lot of them are in England, but there's a bit, and you've probably seen it. Like I said, so you're looking at videos, right? I'm like, oh, that's a good video for the show. I grab it. And then as the end of it plays, a beginning of another one will start. And a lot of times I'll just stop it. But sometimes if I'm on a run, I'll watch a few of them in a row. And this one came up, and I've seen a million of these, but they're always funny. And I thought, okay, we needed something to laugh at. So these are those videos, and you've probably seen them, that, hey, you can't park there. So a car will be like smashed or something like that, and people are standing around them. And these assholes, I would be so pissed at them if I had gotten a crash. So you get in a crash, even just like a little fender bender, and you're just in a terrible mood. And somebody drives by and goes, hey, mate, you can't park there. And it's like people get so pissed. So anyway, I thought this would be perfect on a day like today, where the Giants lose 8-2 and are sinking, I tell you.
Your car here, ma'am.
Are you blind?
Ma'am.
Hold on, let me start.
You can't park your car here, ma'am.
Are you blind?
Ma'am.
Excuse me, mate, you can't park there.
What?
Can't park there, mate.
Can't park there.
You can't park that there, mate.
F*** off.
Now, stay it up.
My keys off. Mate, you can't park there.
Hello, this is not the time to talk this, okay?
Fuck.
I don't know why those strike me so funny, but these people have the balls, and it must be a bit over in the UK or something, because they do tons of them there. You see some of them in the US. But it's this bit where people will go by these cars that are crashed, as you just saw, and they'll be like, hey, you can't park there. Hey, you can't park there. You know how pissed you would be if someone came by, like you just crashed your car. And I've had this happen, like in a snowstorm. And one time in a snowstorm, I did three complete 360s, hit like a post or something, and I'm outside my car, you know, like calling somebody and everything like that. And can you imagine? You're just so pissed. Like, it ruins everything. And you're on the phone, and it's like, you know, you're trying to get help, or, you know, a tow truck, or, you know, somebody to come out or whatever. And someone would drive by at that particular time. You're already just redlining, right? You're that pissed. And somebody would come by and yell at you, hey, man, you can't park there. Like, you'd be so pissed, but it's so funny. I've seen a million of these. Like, when I'm just, you know, like, again, I'm scrolling for work stuff, for show stuff. But then, so I got to play this again. Because, yeah, the one guy that goes, fuck off, is the best.
You can't park your car here, ma'am.
Are you blind?
Ma'am.
Excuse me, mate, you can't park there.
What?
Can't park there, mate.
He starts running after him.
Can't park there.
You can't park that there, mate.
Fuck off.
Fucking hell.
Stay it up. My keys off. Mate. You can't park there.
Hello, this is not the time to talk.
This is not the time to talk. Does he call him geezer at the beginning of that one? Because then he goes, hey, I said, hey, old geezer. And then he said, hey, mate, you can't park there. So I don't think I'd have the balls to do it. I just don't. Like, I'm driving by and I feel bad for him. Like, you know, when you're rubbernecking, which don't even get me started on rubbernecking. I have a personal policy. I never rubberneck because it drives me crazy. Like, when you're in traffic, especially in the Bay Area, and the traffic's bad enough, and then you drive by and it's not an accident, it's just people going, wonder what's going on there. What's happening? Is there an accident? Like, what? Yeah, just keep going. Like, God, killing me here. But anyway, so that's a bit mostly in the UK. I don't know if there's a bunch of those going on, but I see tons of those. But the one that got me was the one guy, and that's exactly what you would do. Like, says you can't park there, and the guy's, fuck off. I didn't do it as well as that guy did, but anyway. So I thought you'd get a kick out of that. Those are hilarious. Those are hilarious, man. can't park there. Hey, mate, can't park there. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, it wasn't work. It didn't work. Anyway, that's tremendous. Plus, they drive on the wrong side. Exactly. Oh, man, that's hilarious. I don't know why that struck me so funny last night. Like, I was watching. Yeah, show stuff, man. I wasn't, you know what I mean? Show stuff. I don't know. That was after the game last night. I was in a pissy mood. I'm like, God, these guys suck. And so I'm looking for show stuff. And then that popped up. And I thought, and I don't know, it just struck me as super funny right there because I was in such a bad mood. So I don't know if people found it as funny as I did. If I find more of those, because there's boatloads of them. So I'm going to grab them for the show now all the time. But yeah, the geezer. Yeah, I think he did call him geezer, right, Joe? Like, I swear he goes geezer. And then he went, okay. Yeah, Monty Python type stuff. I just love that stuff, man. It's just unbelievable. Oh, that's unbelievable. Anyway, anything else today? Yeah, Benny Hill type stuff. Exactly. British humor. Amazing. British humor. Just so funny. Like, can you imagine? What if somebody did? What if you were on the other side of that and somebody goes, hey, you can't park there? And you just got in an accident or something and your car's crushed. You're like, I would. I'd do that one guy. The second guy ran after him. Like, second guy's like, I will catch you and I will beat your ass. That was so good. So good. Oh, I love it. All right, there you go. That is your Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol. Unless there are anything else, any supers, anything you want to get out of your pie hole right now, episode 181, the Giants get blown out again. Birdsong loses it and is confused. That tells me that something's going on with the coaching staff. Melvin option picked up in the midst of the Titanic. All is well. All is well. The fan booted from Arizona, the guy who was catching all the home runs. Waiting on Giannis. He is kind of screwing up the offseason right now, especially for the Lakers, Warriors, and Heat. Damian Lillard, what would you feel about that? That was the one that I put up as the show. Mark Spears saying that the Warriors have reached out to Damian Lillard. He wouldn't play for the majority of the season, if at all, next year. But what would you think of Damian Lillard coming home and becoming a Warrior? And I put Horford in there. If those were the moves in the offseason, how would you feel? Diddy acquitted on the most serious of charges, but two charges for prostitution could carry 20 total years. I got a weird feeling he's not going to spend any time. He's going to have one of those things around his ankle. Random things happen throughout, and Caboose, British humor, British humor. Yeah, he did say geezer. Hey, geezer. And then the guy turned to him. He's like, mate. It's the best. Now is not the time to talk. Oh, yeah, now is the time to talk because we need to laugh at you because we're in a bad mood because of the Giants. All right. There you go. That is your Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol, but I already said that. Thanks for watching on X today. Thanks for watching on Instagram. Please make sure you come over to the YouTube channel, because if you missed any of the YouTube right after the show, now you can go back now, or I'm going to put the chapters up so you can watch a little bit later. We will, in just mere moments, put this up on a podcast. So if you miss some of the show and you want to listen to it, or maybe you want to listen to it again, you're out running around today, just Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast, johnlundunleashed.com. They're up there as well. All of the archives, as well as your social media channels, are there. Bay Area Sports Collective, make sure that you are subscribed there. That's me, Tom Tolbert, Polymax Particles with Creative Tony. Who else is on there? Rod Brooks is there. Rod Brooks, Quality Hang is there. Jeremy Affelt and Amy G. So make sure you check that out as well. Thanks for watching on Facebook, LinkedIn, X at John Lund Radio. Instagram at John Lund Radio, all of those places. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please subscribe. Please give us a like before you get out of here as well. That helps the algorithm. And last thing, we always send stuff out through the day. So if you would hit me up and make sure that your alerts are on, then we can bug you throughout the day, because let's be honest, you're not working anyway. No, you probably are, actually. All right, there you go. That is episode 181. Everybody have an amazing...
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!